child. He was named Jesus, the name the angel has given him before he was conceived. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Penuel, and the tribe of Asher. She was very old and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She'd never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law and the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And I invite Darren to come and speak to us.
Good morning, church, and happy new year to you. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we give you thanks for your living word. We thank you that your word is truth, and we thank you that your word transforms. Father, this morning we don't just want information, we seek transformation. And we pray this morning, Father, that we would leave this place different than where we arrived. Amen. Amen. Did you hear the one about the shopper at Christmas who came upon a nativity scene in a department store? She saw the figurines of Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus, and exclaimed in disgust, "Now look what they're dragging into Christmas, religion." And do you know, that's where many people are today in their understanding of Christmas. But this morning we will take a look at the monumental turning point in history as God reveals his Saviour to Simeon and Anna. In what was mostly the strangest and probably the most remarkable dedication service in history. Simeon is not the kind of guy that you associate with the Christmas story. If this was a film, Simeon would be the backstage crew credits, and you'd likely not see his name appear in large font with all the other stars, maybe the small font at the end. No one waits around in the credits to see who was the musical researcher in a film. I mean, even the sheep, cows, get a bigger billing than Simeon in the Christmas story. However, we see that he was the most in tune with God, the most expectant, the most alert, and as this was the most important event in history that occurred, Caesar had no idea. The Roman Senate, they didn't have a clue. The Pharisees, they were looking elsewhere. The philosophers in Athens, they knew nothing about it. And as for Herod the Great, he was just paranoid. However, Simeon had the insight. He was waiting. And we'll see that the Holy Spirit was on him. And we will also see Anna worshipping in the temple night and day. Both were ready and both were waiting. So let's look first at verses 22 and 23. When it came to the time of the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it was written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves and two young pigeons. So Jesus was likely about 6 weeks old, and this was his dedication service that was required by the law. And this is seen in Exodus verses 13, verses 1 and 2. The Lord said to Moses, consecrate to me every firstborn male, the first offspring of every womb among the Israelites, belongs to me, whether human or animal. Mary and Joseph would have travelled from Nazareth to Jerusalem, a journey that probably would have taken about a week. The current hypothesis from Bible scholars is that it's a four-day journey from Nazareth to Jerusalem. But Mary and Joseph would have had to travel about 65 miles in 4 days, although this would have been a really difficult journey, even with a six-week-old baby, and most likely had many stops along the way. Today you can drive it on Route 6 on the Yisbang Rabin Highway, and it will probably take you about 2.5 hours. It was thought that Mary would have been around about 15 or 16, and with a new baby, the stress and the worries and the concerns that brings, there is no doubt that this was a difficult journey. However, this tells us without any doubt that both Mary and Joseph were devoted to God, bringing their baby Jesus to the temple as instructed by the law of Moses. When they arrived at the temple, they would have been dressed in white and would have ascended up the temple steps. This was their pilgrimage to God as they climbed the steps, with the baby Jesus no doubt in Mary's arms and Joseph carrying sacrifice offering. Now in verse 25, now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consecration of Israel. The consecration of Israel is a reference to the Messiah, the deliverer or the liberator. Now Israel was under the thumb of the Roman Empire, and its people were oppressed, and they were crying out to God, how long until you send a saviour, a Messiah, a liberator? And Simeon was waiting for that answer to prayer for the consolation of Israel. So then, Mr. Simeon, what are your plans for today? I should be waiting. Mr. Simeon, what did you do yesterday? I did some more waiting. this to Simeon, "What are you doing tomorrow?" "Yes, I shall be waiting for the consolation of Israel, waiting for a Messiah and a liberator, just waiting." We are told that the Holy Spirit was on Simeon in verse 26. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he'd seen the Lord's Messiah. We read that Simeon was a righteous man, devout, and waiting for a Messiah. So he's been waiting at the temple to see the Messiah, the liberator of Israel. And we read that Simeon does two things: a public announcement and a prediction or a prophecy. But first, what of Simeon himself? We don't really know how old he was and what he looked like, but we can assume that he was an old man, as the verses speaks of the release when he sees the Messiah. Some commentators have said that he's about 114 years old. Also, in some of the text doesn't confirm or deny that he was actually a priest. However, the act of taking the baby Jesus to Simeon by Mary and Joseph, we would assume some sort of priestly role. And as part of the Jewish tradition in Leviticus, a priest would not have cut his beard. So we can imagine Simeon with a long, white, bushy beard. Now, immediately you're thinking of somebody else, aren't you? But it's not Father Christmas. Simeon in verse 25, the description given to us is of a spiritual one, and we hear of Simeon's righteousness and devotion as he is devoted to waiting. Righteous and devout describes his inward rather than his outward description. Simeon was waiting, although he wasn't sure exactly what to expect. Perhaps he would have been expecting a mighty army, a great army of soldiers led by a mighty man to liberate the people from Rome, waiting and knowing that he would see this in his lifetime, waiting for that Saviour. He wasn't expecting a Saviour for all mankind. It was much, much more than he could ever have dreamed of. A Saviour to come to save anyone who believed. We can imagine him every day thinking, could it be today? Getting up every morning, today might be the day that I see the Saviour. Verse 27. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought the child to child Jesus, child Jesus for him, what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God. Simeon comes out of the courts, moved by the Holy Spirit. Mary and Joseph gave the baby to Simeon, and he holds Jesus in his arms, lifting him up and publicly announcing in these amazing words. Or maybe he said them quietly, with tears in his eyes. Verse 29, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of the people of Israel." In verse 33, the child's mother and father and mother marveled at what was said about him. "My eyes have seen your salvation," he said. When Carol and I took my eldest son to Sittingbourne Baptist Church to be dedicated, if the priest had said that about my eldest son, I think I would have said, what's going on? Can I have my baby back now, please? And I maybe would have made a quick exit. But Simeon makes this public announcement in the temple that the consolidation of Israel has arrived. And then asking for release. Dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. This is his prophecy and prediction in verse 34. This child is destined to cause the falling and the rise of many in Israel, and is to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and the sword will pierce your own soul too. We see Simeon prophesy, and this is the first reference that we hear to the cross, the sword that will pierce your own soul too, in reference to when Jesus is stabbed by the Roman guard, and the pain that Mary would have felt seeing her son on the cross. For the two teenage parents, this prophecy would have been confirming. Having only 6 weeks ago been surrounded by the heavenly hosts, the question that perhaps they would be asking was, does anybody else know who our baby is? Verse 36. There was also a prophet, Anna, a daughter of Peniel in the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband for 7 years after a marriage, and then a widow until she was 84. And she'd never left the temple, but worshipped there day and night, fasting and praying. Now we're told about Anna. We're told that she was a prophet, and as a widow, she was devout. And she never left the temple. So now we're given a little bit more information about Anna and her age. Now in some commentaries and some translations, it actually states that she was in the temple for 84 years, being a widow. So let's do the math. She was married for 7 years and been a widow for 84 years. So 7 and 84 is 91. And she was most likely married when she was probably about 15 or 16. I'd say 15. 15 and 91 is 106, which sounds much better, being, as it states, she was very old. And as probably some people might take offence with, being very old at 84. She most likely 106. 106 years old, worshipping day and night, fasting and praying. This is a picture of what devotion looks like. She was in the practice of being in the temple, waiting, ready to help people, maybe pray with people. And she was waiting, ready to serve. Perhaps hearing Simeon's prophecy. Verse 38. Coming up to them, Mary and Joseph, at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Anna was rejoicing, telling people the good news of Jesus at 106 years old. How cool is that? In fact, John, if you'll let me, how super cool was that? What would it look like if we were like Simeon, ready to respond to the Holy Spirit's calling? Or that we were more like Anna, who made it their priority to be in church. We read that Simeon was moved by the Spirit and he came out of the temple courts. How often does the Spirit move us? How often do we ignore the Spirit's calling? Maybe to pay for someone's shopping, to give a little bit extra to a charity, to say sorry, or to stop and listen. But maybe we're busy and have more important things to do. We read that Anna worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. How often do we find something else that we'd rather do than come to church? Now, do you know, I come here quite a lot. And you may say, Darren, as church warden, you should be here quite a lot. But I don't do everything that happens in Christchurch and St Andrews. And I have to admit that sometimes I feel bad. The youth today call it FOMO, the fear of missing out. And I truly suffer with FOMO quite a lot. Sometimes if I've got in at about 3 a.m. after doing a street pass to patrol, I quite often think that I would pull the quilt over my head and sleep till lunchtime than come to church. Or at a prayer gathering at St Andrews on a cold night, putting an extra log on the fire instead of driving to Hampton also seems like a good idea. But when I felt like that, and I've dragged myself kicking and screaming to church or to a church event, I've never been disappointed, and it's never ever been a waste of time. What if Simeon, when he was called to move into the temple courts, had thought, well, it's a bit hot today out there in the temple courts, and I am 114, so maybe I'll stay indoors today. Or Anna, at 106, she said, maybe say, well, I've been in the temple courts every day for many years. They won't miss me today. The challenge for us this morning is not only to be ready as we wait, but to be devoted and wait regularly. Regularly worshipping. Regularly praying. Regularly studying. And regularly in our attendance. And my worry is how many people are missing the consolidation and the comfort of Jesus, because they're not waiting and not waiting on him. So this year, as 2023 starts, why not be a little bit more like Simeon, being led by the Spirit and being obedient? Or maybe being a bit more like Anna, making coming to church your number one priority. Speaking about Jesus and looking forward to our redemption. Let's pray. Father God, we pray individually and as a church family that we would be more like Simeon and Anna. That we would, in 2023, and that you would awaken us to fulfill your plans for our church in this town. Awaken us as we to know more and be more. Amen. Amen. So, we know a song about that. So, in this song, Spirit Full, that we're going to sing now, there's a line in it. Awaken my soul, I know that I've been made for more. So use that as a prayer or sing it out loud. John.